Church, good to see you all here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. We know that that experience that you're going through right now can be a little uncomfortable. You don't know anybody, or maybe you know one person, the one that brought you. So we want to make your visit as comfortable as possible. So there's a few ways to find out about the church. You heard about them. That QR code on the front seat in front of you, scan that. That'll take you to the website, where you can snoop around, or you can go to our welcome kiosk and ask your questions there. But thanks for coming. Our goal is that this would be a profitable weekend for you spiritually, and that you'd make some friends in the process. So, and if you're online, thank you for joining us as well. And if you're online and not in your jammies, come on down and join us. We're much better in person. But if you're out of the area, out of state, thanks for tuning in. Okay, I'm gonna switch it up on you. You might have heard. But as I was praying and really thinking through the message last night of what I wanted to talk about, I canned it and took a left turn. And just given the happenings on Wednesday, Charlie Kirk's assassination, I just felt we needed to probably explore a couple things. So, your worksheet is completely useless here this morning. The title's useless, the points are useless, the discussion questions on the back are useless, and so are the daily devotions. Now, they're not useless next week. We'll come back to that, so if you want to bring it. But I have no worksheet for you, so you can adapt, cross things out. Also, just an FYI, if you're a grow group leader, or you'll be getting discussion questions for this week. In fact, off stage during worship, I was writing them and sending them to the coaches. The coaches will send them out. So this is all last minute stuff, but I appreciate your patience in it. But, you know, I mean, unless you're really remote, you know about Charlie Kirk. You know about his murder. It took place. He's obviously the founder, co-founder and director of Turning Point, which is a voice for conservative politics for the youth, younger people. Charlie was only 31 years old. And he's also a strong believer and is very vocal about his faith. And he was speaking at a university event in Utah, and just under a little umbrella, if you saw it, thousands of people were there, and a sniper killed him. And so I sent you an email on Wednesday just encouraging you to be praying for the Kirk family. I mean, you can imagine a 30-year-old wife and two young kids, the devastation that is, not to mention Turning Point and the ministry and efforts that they put forward, and as well as our country. We're in a dark place. Instability is the norm. And there's going to be reverberations of this. You already hear it. The opinions about it and the rhetoric about it. But as Christians, what are we supposed to do with this? But I will just tell you that this is nothing new. The Apostle Paul was describing to Timothy in his second letter to Timothy about the state of instability in culture. And listen how he describes it. 2 Timothy 3:1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power. That was 2,000 years ago. That's today. And yet Paul is telling Timothy how to navigate through this stuff. How to remain stable when everything else is unstable. How to shine light when everything else is dark. How to bring hope when everything else is hopeless. So that's what I'm going to talk about. I've entitled this message, Dark Times. And we're going to look at how to find stability when the world is unstable. Now we know in our study through 1 Timothy, so we're still in 1 Timothy, but a little different focus. We know in our study that the church in Ephesus was unstable. They had a lot of stuff going on, a lot of bad stuff, a lot of dark stuff. They had false teachers, they had corrupt leaders, they had broken relationships, division, they were prayerless, they were gospel-less. It was not a good time in the health and season of this church that we've been studying through, but this letter is focused and encouraged Timothy of how to pastor the church through this time, this dark time, difficult time, unstable time, much like what we live in today. And we've talked about a lot of different things, a lot of different angles, but towards the end of this letter, there's just a simple verse that I wanted to focus on here this morning. It's 1 Timothy 6:12. And it's just the first part of the verse. And he really summarizes for Timothy as well as the entire church, because the letter will be read to the church. So it'll have application beyond just a pastor. But he says this, 1 Timothy 12, fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. That word fight, agonizo, it's where we get our word agonize. So agonize, battle, the good fight, so it's worth it. It's something that should be done of the faith. So it has to do with our Christianity, our walk with Jesus. But in saying that, he's highlighting, hey, Timothy, life is tough. I get it. There's battles going on each side of you. But that doesn't mean you back down. That doesn't mean you retreat. That doesn't mean you avoid when things get hard. Because when things get hard, when things are difficult, right now, for example, it's very destabilizing. There's a lot of fear. Where's God? And all these things kick in to cause us to flounder as believers and flounder as a church. And he say, no, don't flounder. Fight. And fight to the point where you're agonizing, to where you feel it. It ain't easy. And this becomes a counterintuitive picture when we think of the Christian life. When we think of the Christian life, we want to be blessed. When we think of the Christian life, we want to feel good, not bad. We want the opposite of agonizing. So it's interesting because, you know, people will come to church and they'll leave and say, oh, that was a very uplifting message. I really like that. Or, oh, pretty heavy today. Don't like that. So kind of like the music makes us feel good until it doesn't. Anyway, I'm thinking through this as I'm going. Okay, so this isn't. But when we talk about how to find stability when life is unstable, this truth just jumps out. Number one, recognize faith will take hard work. This challenges our expectations of what the Christian life should be. Easy, comfortable, a blessing, uplifting. I mean, if you follow Jesus, your life should be a blessing, right? And yet he's saying, fight the good fight of faith. Because what happens if you don't fight? Parable of the sower. Remember the four seeds? Remember where they went out representing the gospel? And do you remember when opposition and instability crept in? Call it a rocky road, call it a sunny day, call it birds in the air. What happened? Bailed out. I mean, it's remarkable to me when I read about Paul's ministry. I mean, arguably the most fruitful ministry represented in Scripture, at least in Europe for sure, because that was his mission field. I mean, we're reading his words penned by him under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and not to mention Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Anyway, it's a lot. Very fruitful ministry. And in 2 Corinthians 11, he brags about the blessing of his ministry. 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And if that ain't enough, let's talk about the church. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure of me of my anxiety for all the churches. Well, there's a blessing. And that's why he could say at the end of 2 Timothy's letter, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Charlie Kirk's assassination highlights the fight. Yes, he was a voice for young conservatives politically, but he was also a bold Christian. And somebody didn't like that voice and decided to silence it. I don't know which one, the political side or the Christian side or both. Doesn't really matter. It's a battle. And I don't know if you listen to this, but his wife almost, I would say, gave a eulogy yesterday. She went on camera. She was in the Turning Point studio. She was talking to the camera, talking to us people. And next to her, she was standing there talking, and next was the empty chair where her husband sat. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know any 31-year-olds that are that mature. And she waxed. She went. And it was real, and it was heartfelt, and it was honest. And I was riveted. I thought, wow. And at the very end, she said this, which is really echoing the words of Paul. She said, never surrender. And I thought, yeah, it's easy. I mean, all of us understand that. Nobody would say, I surrender. But we all do in different ways. When there's pressure, back off. When things get a little difficult, shut up. Retreating, avoiding, not going there. With our families and our workplace and our schools. And when we zip it, and we'll talk about what it is in a second, we retreat. Christians have hope. And when we don't share hope, it's hopeless, it's dark. Christians can be light, and if we don't shine the light, there's just gonna be darkness. And we can bring stability to an unstable world, but it isn't going to be easy, and it isn't going to be comfortable. It's going to be agonizing. And let me just say this. This isn't about politics. This is about faith. The good fight of faith. This is about your walk with the Lord and the hope you have in Christ. Everybody else is trying to figure it out on their own and try to in their own effort. The shooter thought it was a good idea. So, I just encourage you that just because it, and we said this multiple times through this letter, just because it feels bad, it doesn't mean it is bad. That could have an impact on your social media, that can have an impact on your conversations, but when we retreat, we surrender. Okay, well, Paul highlights this battle again when he wrote to this same church, Ephesus, probably 10 years before he wrote to Timothy about Ephesus. So it was a thing. He's repeating it to Timothy, but it was a thing earlier. And he gives us this perspective, which I think is super important. Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord. There's that battle theme, and in the strength, there as it is, of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Interesting. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, rulers, and against authorities, and against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So he uses this military metaphor for the Christian life. I mean, we never think that way. You don't come to church and put on your fatigues and have your belts and have your, you know, helmets on and all that. You come and drop your kids off at the children's ministry and they get balloons on the way out, right? I mean, it's like, wow, it's heavy. But the important piece is who the enemy is. Did you see that? It's not against flesh and blood. So we're in a battle like a soldier going to war with this metaphor. But the difference is it's a spiritual battle, so we don't see the enemy. It's an invisible enemy. We like to think that all our enemies we can see, and we can vote in, and we can vote out, and we can talk about. It's not that. There is another layer that may be the fruit of things. But that's not the enemy for a believer. That shooter thought the enemy was Kirk. Second, the way to find stability when the world is unstable. Remember, it's a spiritual battle. As much as we want to think we're battling people, we're not. As much as we want to say it's politics, it's not. As much as we want to blame laws and policies or even the generations before us or after us, it's not. And when we miss this truth, then we see the battle is me against you. And then we use bad ammo. Because Paul tells us about the ammo in verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? Truth. Where's truth come from? Bible. Righteousness is just application of the truth. Okay? As shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, there's some of the ammo. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which is trusting God, with which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, there's the gospel again, and the sword of the Spirit, that's the what? Bible again, and which is the word of God. It even tells you that. Look at verse 18. praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So your ammo is the Word of God, prayer, and the gospel. That's it. And that's the ammo that God has given us to fight a spiritual enemy that we can't see. And when we try to use other kind of ammo, it's never going to work. I was reading about, all these wars that have been going on. It's kind of, the Ukraine deal and Gaza, and you're seeing all this new technology being used, primarily drones. Those are scary because they're manless, right? So pilots don't get killed. They're accurate. You know how they battle drones? Do you know how you can, what the defense is against a drone? It's not bullets. I'm sure you know. Specialize in drones. And he's probably going to correct me if I get it wrong, so I'll go for it. Affect the communication. Jumble the communication. Break down the communication. Where do you think the enemy's going to try to battle you? Breaking down your communication with the Lord. If he can pull you away from God's word, if he can pull you away from prayer, if he can make you embarrassed for the gospel, he wins. He takes you out. But if we stay in the word of God, if we're on our knees in prayer, and we're not ashamed of the gospel, we win. It's right there. You're going to go, what am I going to do if I don't have daily devotions this week? I know some of you are thinking that. Here's your daily devotion. Day one, pray. Day two, read 1 Timothy. Get in the word. Day three, don't pray or read. Share the gospel with somebody. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Well, what do you do about day four? Go back to prayer. Then read the word and then share the gospel. There you go. Daily devotions. Fix that problem. No more panic. Yeah, it's interesting. I just recently got a recliner. I had one, but it was the days where recliners, the best recliners, guys, let's face it, are the big fat man recliners, right? The big old things that look like beds almost, and they just recline. And classic, whatever, old school, the wives don't like it because it's funky looking and it's gross and just whatever. But guys love it. I mean, right? You could sleep all night in those things. So I had a recliner before, and it was a cool-looking recliner, which means it was sleek, it was thin lines, it wasn't fat man, it was whatever. And it was the most uncomfortable recliner. I mean, it hit me like it halfway in my calf, you know what I mean? So I never used that thing. Just sat there, white leather, looking beautiful, but who cares? But so anyway, our marriage has matured over time, and Susan thinks I deserve a recliner, which is kind of like, wow, it only took 10 years of work to deserve a recliner. We like that. So anyway, I got my recliner, and it's pretty sweet. It's electric, too. It's got that thing going. Oh, yeah. And, guys, you'll understand this, full layout. Yeah, And for me, so it gets right and it's there. Mine has a little extra platform that goes zzz, so mine not dangling. So that's important. Anyway, I don't know. I'm adding a little levity to a heavy topic, but Christianity isn't lived out in a recliner. And things are going to get darker before they get lighter. Instability is the norm. It's chaos out there on social media. People celebrating Kirk's death and people mourning Kirk's death and everything in between. And so it's chaos. And that's what the enemy is. He's about chaos. And so it's up to the church to be stable. It's up to Christians to be stable. And we can only find our stability in Christ. It's a spiritual warfare. We are not given the Bible to preserve an American lifestyle. We're given the Bible to help people see eternity, to confront sin, and to bring hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul could say, I've run the race. I've fought the fight. Because through all that chaos and all that darkness and all that instability, he still brought the gospel. And that's what we're called to do. So it's a time, Christians, for us to be praying. We're sharing Jesus. And stay close to his word. Because the drone's coming in to try to break up that communication. Lord, as we process the landscape today, I know for me, in many ways, I'm shocked when I hear people talk and how they talk. I'm like, wow, this is right next door. This is places of employment, local businesses, friends, family. And yet here we are, living out what the Apostle Paul highlighted in culture. Lovers of self, abusive, unloving, everything else. And so, Lord, we want to regroup with you and find our stability in you. Help us not be lazy, apathetic, or careless. But to bring light where there's dark, bring stability where there's instability, and bring hope where there's hopelessness. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I just want to highlight something. We're all here because we're sinful people. We're all here because we know we bring nothing to the table. We can't earn our way to heaven. We can't be that good person. Oh, we can fake it for a while and give the impression, but deep down, we're all struggling. We're all messed up. And we look to Jesus to save us. That's what Christmas is all about. It was a rescue mission to save us from our sin. And when he hung on that cross and said, "It is finished," he died for our sin. He died for your sin. And you can have the hope of forgiveness today. You can be a child of God today by just confessing your sin and trusting him, putting your trust in him. Not culture, not a vote, not politicians, not countries, not culture, but in him. And I just encourage you to do that in your seat right now or online. Because you can have the hope of heaven. When your heartbeat stops, you can be ushered into the kingdom of God like Charlie Kirk has been ushered in because of what Jesus did and your acceptance of it. Or you can be separated from God. It's your choice. But you're just a prayer away. So I encourage you, confess your sin now. If you want help, you can repeat after me. Lord, I come to you this morning, and I know I'm a sinful person. I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. I know I don't deserve it, and I know I can't earn it, And that's why I just ask for it. Lord, from this day forward, I give you my life, my past, my present, and my future. Make me your child. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. And from this day forward, help me to walk with you. Lord, I just pray for those that have prayed that this morning, that you would just fill them with your Holy Spirit. You give them a big hug, so they can know that they're a child of God. Please protect them. Please use them to accomplish your will and to bring hope in this hopeless world. Lord, help us as Pacific Coast Church to be a place of stability and a place of hope to a world that so desperately needs it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. If you prayed that prayer with me, I just want to encourage you to grab a Bible on your way out. At the welcome kiosk, we have a new believers pack that'll give you a Bible and you can start reading in that. But tell somebody you gave your life to the Lord, and we celebrate that with you because we've all been in that spot. But we want to help you in that. And so please stop by the kiosk on your way out. God bless you guys. Thanks. We'll see you next week.